Blog Talk Radio.
It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. And love and tradition of the grand design, some people say it's even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. Cause all I see is the tower of dreams, real love bursting out of everything.
Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what all this time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. It's flaming in my heart like a long lost friend.
Welcome to The Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaronshow.com, Matt at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, and Matthew Aaron on the Facebook, and The Matthew Aaron Show also on the Facebook, and The Matthew Aaron at Baskin Robbins. I am sitting with...
Lee Capreas, hello. Lee Capreas, do what you do this week, at Twitter, at Lee Capreas, and on the Facebook also.
And
Steve Weirich here. Don't follow me. And, I don't want friends.
And Mikey Terzo's in studio as well.
Hey, Mikey Terzo.
And Steve.
Yes.
I'm gonna make you play the game here, pal.
All right. What game are we?
Better playing? Theme song. Family Matters or Perfect Strangers?
Perfect Strangers.
Whoa, that was quick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Here's why. Perfect Strangers because one, I can sing along to it better. Two, opening sequence way better. America or Burst? Way funnier.
But Perfect Strangers never had as many good, very special eps.
This is true.
As Family Matters.
No, yeah. That's true. There were no deportation eps in Perfect Strangers.
The ethical slur on Laura's locker.
Yes, me and young Michael Terzo were just discussing this episode.
So Steve and I were watching Family Matters, and it was the episode where Laura wants to get a class in high school or at junior high, whatever they were at that time, for African-American history. And what was the line that was used? What was in the notes she reads when she opens up the locker?
Laura gets a love letter that says, if you want to learn about black history, go back to Africa.
Yikes.
Now,
yikes. On Family Matters.
Family Matters. Miller and Boyette must have not been on the Xanax that day.
No.
Let me tell you.
No, Miller and Boyette are no Philly Rosenthal. Philly Rose.
That's true.
Can I read a great status Michael Whitehorn just read? Yeah. Wrote. This is our status of the week.
Okay.
I'll have to tell Mikey Whitehorn he won the honors here. Eric Clapton's Wonderful Tonight is without a doubt the most haunting, beautiful song ever written about a guy getting shit-faced at a party and needing his wife to drive him home and drag him into bed before he vomits and passes out. Pretty good.
That is so trenchant. That is so good. That contains so much truth.
Oh, Mikey
White. That's love right there. That's about love, Mikey White. You know love.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So,
I wouldn't know.
By the way, Pat Tobias thought the Family Matters song was Step by Step.
Pat Tobias, you need to learn your 90s sitcom themes.
Listen, Pat Tobias. I also never watched any of these shows growing up. So, don't feel you're not.
Oh, that makes him feel better. Yeah. He's in the pretentious club.
But we can all
I've been waiting for somebody
club
to join the
pretension.
Club.
We all can tell the difference between Patrick Duffy singing and Reginald Vell Johnson singing.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Terzo just said, who's either one of those people?
Reginald is the father from Family Matters. Pat Duffy, he's the father in Step by Step.
Step by Step, yeah.
Come on, you got to know who Pat Duffy is. Dallas? I'm not repeating that on the air.
Yes. Yeah. Reginald is the cop.
Why do we have to see things in color?
You raise a good point.
Thank you.
In living color?
Great. I love that.
In living color, yes.
Oy vey.
Keep in mind, Matt, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, Matt, being colorblind does mean being blind, you cannot see.
Okay? Church songs.
Oh, so how was everyone's weekend?
It was good. I quit my bouncing gig. I got to actually hang out on Friday and Saturday night and do stuff like a normal person.
He bounced.
But how do you feel about the money situation without the bouncing gig? He bounced at KinderCare. What do you want from him, Mikey? It wasn't at a bar. He was the bouncer at KinderCare.
I think I can do without the extra $75 a week.
Is that all it was?
Yeah.
What?
My situation is
dire. I don't
know.
$75 is a lot to me.
I'll take it.
Huh? No. It was a check. I work 9 hours a week for minimum wage. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I would take.
Steve, your weekend?
I worked. I wrote a lot. I actually need to apologize for this weekend. I took Matt away from his social.
Canotting.
His social endeavors.
We call it canotting.
Canotting, yes. One bucket of fish heads was not good enough. I needed Matt down here to help out. We got a lot done.
We did get a lot
done. I was happy. We got a lot done. So it was a good weekend. We got some work done. And that was my weekend.
And that was your weekend?
Yeah, it was my weekend. I was here a lot. Some of my mail's being sent here, too. So if your ma could go ahead and hold on.
Cesar Marconi wants to know how Lee and Terzo do not know who we're talking about when we say Pat Duffy and Reginald Vell Johnson.
No, I know who Pat Duffy and Reginald Johnson are. Yes.
Vell Johnson. Don't leave out the Vell, short for Velveeta Johnson.
No, I know who they are. I just didn't watch any of these shows. I did not watch them.
Reginald, if you're listening, add me on the Facebook already.
Reginald's not listening.
Pat Duffy, please.
I can give you a reason why, but I'm not going to. But I've seen Reginald's book, pal. We're not allowed. Reginald has a whites only and blacks only book. Maybe we're getting the wrong book.
You mean by we, you mean podcasters, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, absolutely.
No, we've been in purgatory for like a year.
All right, I'm not trying to be racist here. No. This is not a racial thing, but I really do believe Reginald won't add me because of the color of my skin.
Cracker, please.
This is reverse racism. This is progressive racism.
Progressive racism.
Sorry, I'm being redundant.
Yes, I agree with that, Michael.
That's all right. 20 years from now, I'll bump into Reggie Vells at a Apple Foods, Big Apple Foods,
Albertson.
And I'll ask for reparations.
You'll lend him. He'll have forgotten his preferred card, and you'll spot him one.
Yes, that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Reggie?
You'll see him at Ralph's, and he'll be like, press debit or credit.
Oh, boy.
Now we're never really getting Reginald Vell Johnson.
Come on.
Now we're never getting Reginald. You had to go the credit route.
I shouldn't have brought up Ralph's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what it was, Ralph.
Speaking of burning bridges, I need to talk about Kathy Griffin real quick.
Oh, now what does Kathy Griffin have to do with our nice little program?
I will tell you what she
has to do. And of course Louise is here yapping it up already.
You know what's funny is that Alex never initiates the talking. Someone always
talks the longest.
He gets blamed for it.
He's a talker.
Yeah. All right.
Continue,
go on.
Steve. Kathy Griffin, what does she have to do with our little program?
She has a lot more than you listeners would realize. So we're down here scripting, and we got the We got her program on. She's doing her stand-up. Now, it was news to me that she was ever on The View. I had no idea of this. Well, turns out Kathy Griffin and Elizabeth Hasselbeck aren't friends. However, Kathy, we're pretty sure she's friends with Joy Behar.
Yes, very good. Now, very good friend.
Now, Kathy Griffin and Elizabeth Hasselbeck can't get along so much to the extent where they have their own days. Now, I put two...
No, Barbara Walters. Oh, Barbara won't come on when Kathy's on.
Oh, is that... I thought it was Elizabeth.
Barbara won't come on when Kathy's on.
Who doesn't get along with Barbara Walters? She's the olive branch of the show.
Well, Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin.
Now, you know, I was scratching my head.
Can we get you guys a couple styrofoam cups and a string? You could talk that way, maybe?
Guys.
Yikes, here we go already.
I know.
So I, well, this
Lee, will you motherfuck them already?
I was going to say, what's going on with Lee and Terza on Tuesday?
Yeah, let's bring this up.
No,
so anyways, continue. What's your point, Steve?
So I'm doing a look at the TV, and then I'm looking back at the table here, and then I'm looking at the TV, back at the table, and I'm like, holy Toledo, Kathy Griffin and Baba Wawa can't get along just like Lee and Patrick.
Now, who am I in this?
Well, we were. Yeah. This is why I bring it to this platform.
This is interesting. Who is he?
I see.
Because actually, Pat's more Elizabeth Hasselbeck than anybody.
I was going to say I'm Kathy Griffin because though I am talented, I irritate everybody.
Are you also a 50-year-old?
Are you talented if you irritate everybody?
You can be both.
Oh, can you? Okay, making sure.
Come on.
Don Riffle, who is
Gilbert Gottfried.
Who here? Ooh.
See, that's why everyone. And if anyone,
I gotta say, Lee's Kathy Griffin. Because I like Barbara Walters more.
You like Baba you like Baba Wawa more. That's beautiful. So isn't that just quite the coincidence there?
Yeah. That, you know what, though? I guess that you'd probably find more examples like that throughout history of television.
I had
to bring
it up.
Talk shows.
I'm sure there's people that have certain days. Yeah. Missy Pyle tonight.
The actress, musician.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Married.
Is that on her resume, gorgeous?
Yeah.
Gorgeous. It is.
Yes, it's in not, one of her talent sections.
It's not the first or second thing you'll read on the resume because she's very humble, but it is there.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. It's next to horseback riding and ballet. Yeah, in things you can do section.
That's fine.
Timmy Gibbons on tomorrow's show.
I know.
Timmy Gibbs.
Timmy. I just talked to him.
Timmy Gibbs.
Yeah. He's doing well.
Tim Gibbons, I should say. Executive producer of Curb. Curb Your, what's the show?
Enthusiasm!
Is it any good? I've never seen it.
Listen, pal.
Was that a dig at me?
And then Thursday, big day. And I didn't announce this until now.
Very, very big.
Well, first we got Tracy Pendergast, who we knew about.
Right, right, right.
We knew about Tracy.
We knew about
but,
Tracy.
But what you didn't know is I have a very special two-on-one to turns into one-on-one with the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond. The creator, writer, director, star of Exporting Raymond, Phil Rosenthal, will be joining me. He is our generation's Norman Lear.
He
will be joining me on Thursday as well.
He sounds like Norman.
Well, I taped the interview today because, you know, Phil's a busy guy.
Yeah, right.
Got a life.
Right.
Those half a billionaires, they got things to do.
They got stuff.
They do.
Okay. So Bruce Fretz and I interviewed Phil, and I have to say this was probably – it's up there with the Mikey Whitehorn interview. It's up there with the Peter Tolan interview. It's up there with Mike Royce. It's there. It's a good one. And so I encourage you to tune in Thursday to listen to Phil Rosenthal. And I also have to encourage you to rent or buy Exporting Raymond – because it is truly a really funny movie. It is about Phil taking the show. Russia called up good old Phil. And Phil owns the rights, by the by, to a little show called Everybody Loves Raymond. And Russia called Phil up. So by the way, these 100 or so countries that are making Everyone Loves Raymond now, everybody loves them. Really, everybody loves Phil because Phil's just cashing those checks. The Brinks trucks don't just back up to Phil's house. They stay at Phil's house.
They have Brinks helicopters.
Yeah, they have Brinks helicopters that drop it off to the Brinks trucks that drop it off to Phil inside.
Right. You know what's weird?
So, but anyways, I wanted the plot real quick.
Yeah.
Hold your thought. Hold it. I want to hear it. So Russia asked Phil Rosenthal to come to Russia because they want to do Everybody Loves...
Georgie.
It's pretty close to that.
Yeah.
It really is. And
Shlomo.
Brezhnev.
Shlomo was this joke he made today. It'll be everybody loves Shlomo somewhere else. But
no, it's a common Russian name like Slava or something like that.
He said in the interview, we'll hear it Thursday. It's funny. But anyways, the funny thing about this movie is it's basically Phil trying to explain to them what comedy is, and the Russians telling him he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He does not know comedy. And Phil, there's a part where, this is really funny, Phil goes over there and they're like, before you go over, you need your kidnap and ransom insurance, your K&R insurance. And the guy goes, but don't worry, it never happens. And he goes, it happens often enough that it's abbreviated.
Yeah.
And it's just a really funny movie. It's really good. You have to see it.
It is on DVD.
It is. You can rent it on iTunes for $3.99, $4.99 in HD. It's on Netflix, but I think there's a wait for Blu-ray on Netflix because it's going quick.
Yeah.
It's at Best Buy, Walmart, all over the place. So give it a look-see. So looking forward to that Thursday, even though I already did it, so kind of.
Well, you know,
looking forward to playing it for
you're
you.
Still looking forward to hitting play.
So what was your thoughts, Steve?
Oh, well, you know, I actually just, well, you mentioned Phil Rosenthal and he's cashing checks. I just switched banks to the bank of Phil Rosenthal. I got my free checking there.
Can I bring up something Billy Bob just said to me?
What?
I can't even say this.
Oh.
Then don't say it. This is just so shocking.
Then say Billy Bob.
No, this is like so shocking, and I'm not overblowing this.
Okay. I'd rather not edit this out of the
show. I'm going to clean this up a little, because I cannot say his direct quote.
Okay.
But basically what he's making reference to is, before we go off bashing racism, he wanted to remind me that I know racists.
Okay.
That's the best I'm gonna. I gotta keep it clean like that. But wow, is that like a defense?
Yeah. That okay. First of all, everyone is racist. Everyone in America.
Everybody.
Yes. You just don't. Nobody admits it. Nobody's there. Everyone in their mind is. I believe.
I'm not too sure about that.
Okay.
I don't think Philly Rosenthal's racist.
Not at all.
No. Well, a couple people. Philly Rosenthal is not.
Mikey White.
Not
a racist.
By the way, none of our guests are.
No.
We just automatically pick those people that are not racist.
Nice save, Lee.
Not my Mikey Royce. Mikey Royce is no.
Let's not go outing people.
But I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was an interesting comment. I cleaned it up.
I kind of not.
Because I do love BBT.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes he says things just to be controversial.
Yeah. Well,
he's Glenn Beck in his own house.
Right.
That's about it.
So they have the same amount of viewers is what you're telling me.
Don't open that can because now he's looking up numbers.
Oh,
and
that's funny.
That's good. I don't care.
That's good, yeah.
He loves his Glenny Beck.
Hi, Billy.
He did threaten to come over to this house with his handmade golf clubs and sit in on a show with everyone.
Should we tell? Oh.
He wants to hit you with one, not play golf with you, pal.
Should I say the little prank we pulled on the BBT? Or?
Oh.
Do I want to go there or no?
This is good.
All right.
Okay. So Steve and I thought it would be funny to post on Billy Bob's wall. I decided, I don't know why, we were listening to a Lady Gaga song. It was just on, and it was Born This Way.
Uh-huh.
So I posted the video on Billy Bob's wall and said, Billy Bob can't help that he was born this way. He hates Lady Gaga so much because she's such a Democrat.
Right.
She likes those gays.
Yeah.
But no, I'm sure he loves the gays. But
of course she does. She needs someone to dance.
He was legitimately pissed. He was threatening to like kill us.
Okay.
I don't know. It was it was between him and I talking it out in a restraining order at that point.
Oh boy.
He was talking about his handmade clubs and coming in and sitting on a show and how we're all assholes on this show.
A psychotic Glenn Beck fan? Who would have thought?
You said it, pal. I didn't say it.
Wait a minute.
That was Lee Capreas, K-A-P.
That's not the right spelling.
Oh, good. K-E-P-A-R-I-O-S, Capreas.
Could you show me what he wrote? I won't repeat it, I promise. Just show me so I can.
Why don't you just add him on the book? He's got lots of fans. You just
can you read it from that far away? Do I got to zoom in? Oh, that's cute.
You just Richard.
I saw a nice banner of me. Oh, okay, who just right. Richard Hood?
You just Richard Karned Capreas over here because that's what he always did on Home Improvement. That's
I don't think so, Tim.
Time.
It's tool time.
Yeah, we pulled up like the cue card.
I don't think so, Tim.
The one,
you watched that
show
in the 90s.
The one sitcom I watched was Home Improvement because it was on before The Simpsons.
Well, Dick Karn would always hold up this cue card for hate mail for Timmy Allen.
Don't call
character.
Him Dick. You don't know him.
Oh,
no, it's Dick Karn. It's Dick Karn.
Dickie Karns?
Dickie Karns.
Listen.
Timmy Al.
Timmy
Al, Dickie Karns, they got this little show.
I had a huge crush on Patricia Ricks.
Patty Ricks?
Yeah.
Little do you know, Richard Karn has a Family Feud banner, like board for Survey Says in his garage.
Huh.
So when he's pulling in, Survey Says parking spot, number one answer.
Bad. It's okay. The build-up really highlighted the badness nicely.
You guys are a cute co-hosting couple.
Aren't we just a pair of real
yeah, I'm sitting here with Fred and Ethel Mert.
Yeah. Frickin' frack.
Yeah, you're a pair of clown shoes, all right. Just about as funny as clown shoes, put it that way.
But first of all, I think we're as funny as Vivian Vance and William Frawley.
No. You're about as funny as Desi Jr. and Lucy Arnaz. Put it that way. Talent skips a generation.
Wow.
Do they got some
huge
power? Did I just throw his way under the bus there?
Huge slam on Desi Jr. out of nowhere. Okay.
So I'm supposed to call Missy Pyle.
Tobias
won't give me her number.
Oh, he's holding it hostage.
No, he says there's a little problem with that at the moment.
What is the problem, Pat Tobias?
Who knows? This is getting good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Can't seem to find it, Pat said. He's looking under all his papers. He's flipping out right now.
I wish I could do my Pat Tobias voice. Well, interesting. You misplaced the phone number.
That was not your best. Not your best.
No.
I need to write the dialogue for you,
man. He
maybe.
Almost sounds like an edge exit, stage left even. You know?
Oh, no.
What a professional little show here we run where my booker loses the phone numbers.
Hey, at least I didn't lose.
Oh, he said he was just kidding and gave it to me. That fucker. Oh, April Fool's.
April Fool's.
Yeah, Terzo doesn't think he was kidding. I don't either.
What a guffaw we all had.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were having a little guffaw over that. Thanks, thanks, Patty T.
It's a good nickname.
You know what else I'm wondering? Wait. Okay, Perfect Strangers over Family Matters.
Yes.
But
don't make me choose.
I'm going to make you choose.
I know what two you're talking about. Don't make me choose.
I'm going to make you choose one right now.
I wonder who Missy Pyle will take in this. I think you should ask her when she comes on.
We will.
I know.
The laughter and love.
That's Joanna Kearns.
All right. Now, first of all, Alan Thicke, I believe, wrote and performed that song. That's Alan Thicke singing.
With Joanna Kearns.
No. But let me tell you that I do love how Step by Step and Growing Pains had they wanted to make you believe that the couples were singing the song. And I got another one I'm going to play where it's couple themed as well.
I know what one it is.
I know what you do.
Can't you just picture people opening doors at the same time and they collide and they make that face like,
no, slow down.
Now wait, though.
Because in Growing Pains, they're all stranded in the driveway and Alan Thicke. Lastly, decided
but can
he
we
wants
get
in.
To the real answer here?
Yes. Well, I need the other
Where's Growing Pains? No, Family Matters.
Right.
Perfect Strangers.
Right.
Growing Pains.
There's not another one.
I'm making you rank these as we go.
Oh, wow.
You're really big on Family Matters.
I'm saving some for Tracy Pendergast on Thursday
as
well.
She loves her 90s theme song.
And I know which one she's going to go with. But, no, if it was my order.
Right.
Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Perfect Strangers, Family Matters.
For theme songs?
I'll do that as well.
In those three. Okay. If it's those three.
Yeah, that's true. Cause
that's my list.
I like that list.
Come on, Alan Thicke does the fucking song.
He does, with Joanna Kern.
He can sing.
He can.
Like that Robin Thicke, that son of his. He can sing, too.
That synth-rocked guitar.
He's a little better, though, that Robin Thicke. I won't tell Alan. But maybe if Alan didn't unfriend me on the book, or never friend me on the book, I got denied by Alan Thicke.
You were
Thicke.
A never was.
Never was.
He
I
only
think
has 100 of his clothes.
That's not even... as prestigious as being on with Alan Thicke and then being unfriended. I think it is better to be friended and then unfriended than to have never been friended at all.
Billy Bob wants us to know he's going to be pretending the ball tomorrow when he golfs is our faces.
I've got custom golf balls with my mug on them if he wants.
Caesar Marconi, producer Caesar, weighs in.
Oh, here we go.
Growing Pains, Family Matters, Perfect Strangers.
Oh, changing
up
the order.
Totally threw Perfect Strangers under the Greyhound.
Ooh.
Listen.
Well, he just said it was his third favorite.
No Dance of Joy for him.
Oh, you going to be Billy Bob's new best friend, Alex? You're going to go play golf with him? He doesn't need anyone to play golf with. You should have read his post on the book about his golf pals.
I wonder how he treats his caddy.
Oh, he
makes them crawl on all fours and carry the bag.
Does he tip? Please tell me he tips.
I have never golfed with the man. I cannot say one way or another.
All right.
I cannot say one way or another. If I were to assume, I don't know if there's a lot of tipping going on.
Okay. Well, we don't know that, but.
No tipping, pipping? Yeah.
Yeah.
In 3 minutes, I'm going to call the Missy Pyle. You know, she's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Very talented actress, actually, too.
Mm-hmm.
Character actress, in my opinion.
Yes.
Because she can do everything.
Yes.
My favorite Missy Pyle film, it's not her best role, but my favorite film is probably As Good as It Gets. Very small role, but anytime you could do scene or work with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask a million fucking questions.
Yeah.
I have a bunch.
I know. I know you do.
So what is your favorite Missy Pyle? Anyone have a Missy Pyle that they like? Big Fish? Her work on Boston Legal?
She was good in Big Fish. I actually do like Boston Legal very much.
Dodgeball?
She was in Dodgeball, yeah.
I liked her in Boston Legal and Dodgeball.
I remember her in an episode of Frasier. She was in an episode of Frasier. That I remember, I recall. What else was she in that I'm trying to think about here?
She's worked with the Kelsey Grammer.
I think she was on Friends.
Really?
I think so. Let's see what she's up to. Let me pull it up.
Let's give her a call.
Yeah, we're going to ask her what she's up to. But she's got, according to the IMDb, which isn't really the tell-all.
No.
She's got... TV movie just completed, A Cinderella Story, Once Upon a Song.
Ooh.
And she has two new films that she's doing. She was on Shit My Dad Says last year.
Oh.
She's done some work on American Dad lately. I knew she was on The Mentalist. That's the one I was forgetting. Enjoyed her on The Mentalist.
Hmm.
Pat Tobias wants to know why we didn't play Small Wonder.
Another good theme.
No, it's
Thanks,
not.
Pat.
It's not in the top five.
Oh. It's not in your purview.
I don't know if it's in my top 10 ever.
Oh, wow.
Jeez,
maybe in the corniest song ever.
Wonder.
It's up there with Different Strokes.
Oh God.
So should we call Missy Pyle now?
Yeah. Or do you got something to?
I love how Steve's favorite work of hers is just her being hot. His favorite piece of work of Missy Pyle's is her body.
I loved you in the hot.
Which, by the way, I am sure her husband would love to hear that comment.
Right.
So let's make that happen.
Harold
and Kumar?
She was in Guantanamo Bay. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the sequel.
Yeah.
Too bad she wasn't in that hot tub scene.
No, but I kind of thought that movie was all right.
You know, she's a musician, too.
Yes,
and
right.
I need to ask about this because I haven't. I got to be guilty here. I haven't listened. So I kind of want to... I know I probably should have. I know I should have maybe listened a little, but just and think of a chance to kind of. Well, I kind of just found out about today. My good researchers found out about today, so I'm like, oh, she does music.
Oh,
interesting.
That's good.
So let's call Missy.
Okay. Or did you have? Or that's gonna.
No,
be, it's gonna be after.
Oh, do you have a comment about the pile?
No, I think we're his thing.
I simply said that I liked her in Boston Legal and Dodgeball. No, I'm good.
Oh, she was funny in Dodgeball.
That's what I said. I liked her in Dodgeball. You can call away, though.
Make She's me. Very funny.
She is funny. That's why I liked her in the Dodge. She's a better Dodge.
I need to sound perfect here.
Hello?
Is this Missy Pyle?
This is Missy Pyle.
This is Matthew Aaron of The Matthew Aaron Show. How are you doing?
Oh, how exciting. How are you? I'm good.
Is it exciting? Oh. Wow, that may be the nicest thing everyone's ever. First of all, that's the first time a woman has used me and exciting in the same sentence.
That's
so thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. What's that?
Well, yeah, let me introduce you to the rest of the panel of losers. Go ahead.
My name's Lee. Hi, Missy. Thanks for coming on.
And?
What's going on? Nice to meet you, Lee.
Good to meet you.
It's also Steve yapping away tonight.
Hi, Steve.
Let me just say that you're the first guest.
Steve, what was with your Barry White voice there?
I'm Steve.
Calm down, pal.
You're the first guest who, when you came on, said, "This is exciting." I think that should be noted. For the last.
Probably, right. I'm just trying to pump myself up, you guys.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. We're trying to bring you down.
You never know. I know. I feel like...
We like getting everyone depressed, and then they cry on the ship moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not losers, seriously.
So, Missy, I have to start off right away with...
Wow.
We got to do a little talk about my idol here. You
Who's
were,
your idol?
Well, a guy by
I
the
I thought name, it was me.
A female idol, you may be. But,
Okay.
The name of Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
And you did a little work with him.
Yeah, a little work, a very small amount of work.
Small film. Too.
But yes.
How was that for you, as good as it gets? James L. Brooks, Jack Nicholson. Come on, I mean, that's huge, right? You were excited about
it. It was pretty exciting. And I worked out there. I worked a couple, like 4 weeks maybe on the movie. And I had a very, very small part, but it was a really cool movie to be a part of. And actually... I was just starting out. I'd just gotten out of drama school, and I think Helen Hunt, there's a scene, I was in one of the waitresses in the restaurant and where she worked, and one day she had some turnaround issues, so they said, "Well, Missy, can you read with Jack?" And I was like, of course, it was off camera. And it was just, like, truly the most incredible thing, because I'd literally been in L.A. I didn't even live in L.A. I think I'd been out of school for, like, 6 months. And just kind of be standing there, like, actually doing a pretty decent scene. Because, she had a great part in that movie, which was really cool. Of course, it never made it to the air.
Right.
Nobody was recording the reverse me, but it was really cool.
You're right out of drama school, and then you get to act right away with Jack Nicholson. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I literally, went around the corner and cried. Because I was like, I can't believe... I mean, it would have been more exciting, obviously, if that had been on screen, but... Anyway, it lives in my heart,
With everything I expect, he was all class.
He was, oh, come on. I mean, Jack Nicholson. So I don't know about all class. I'll never forget. I was so nervous around him. And I had this skirt on in one of the scenes. And I remember he was sitting in a booth, and it was like, I remember we were in between takes. And I bent over. I was not even standing that close to him. I was, literally 10 feet away. And I bent over, and, the inner liner of my skirt ripped. And I kind of stood up, and I was like, oh, my God. I looked, just to see if it was still there. It was still there. I was, beat for, a couple seconds. And then Jack says, "Missy, that skirt's not going to last the rest of the day." And I was like,
I love how Jack takes notes on your clothing. That's good. That's
yeah, I mean, and he took, a full few beats, too,
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Well, you know, that's great. Now, then what would you say, because I know you did a couple TV guest starring roles after that. You did some Friends. Well, that's huge. Friends, Drew Carey, I know, Mad About You. What else
mm-hmm.
did you is there anything I'm missing there? But then Galaxy Quest. Would you say that was a big deal for you?
Definitely. I mean, I really feel like that movie, because I was only supposed to be in that movie for a couple of weeks. I mean, we got like Schedule F, which meant, you know, they had me for the entire movie, but I was really only scheduled to be in a few scenes. And I think they realized they didn't have another woman in the movie except for Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
So there was never any like romance between Tony Shalhoub and I. That was not in the original script. But I remember coming to work one day and someone being like, my hair, or the guy that was doing my makeup, Bill Corso, who I think does like Jim Carrey now. He's a really cool guy. He was like, I hear like your part just got bigger. And I mean, you never hear that. It usually gets smaller. But I was like, really? And they're like, yeah.
Tony Spielberg. Romance. Hmm? What's the romance at Shalhoub? Who doesn't want to make out with Monk?
He wasn't even Monk yet.
No,
he was pre-Monk.
But when I make out with him,
I could feel it.
Because that's now.
All right, we won't.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I don't make out with Tony Shalhoub. That's he makes right. out with me.
Listen, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't see you. Look in your eyes.
See, Missy. Ain't much to see.
Yeah.
Oh.
Face for radio,
oh, well.
They say.
Yeah. People see that. Tony Shalhoub is pissed at his father.
But that's huge, though. You get more lines. When does that happen?
But it literally, like, it's the most ridiculous romance in any movie. I mean, it literally is like two looks and I hold his hand and then we kiss. And that's the entire, but then I'm in the rest of the movie just running around following them, doing, you know, the little alien walk and whatnot.
Sounds good to me. I'm all about that.
That's pretty exciting.
Now, let me ask you about something, though. I'm not trying to bring you down here. I just want to know all about this. Home Alone.
Okay. Listen, in my defense.
And it pays the bills, but how do you feel?
It's Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah.
We shot in South Africa. I mean, come on.
It's
a free ticket to Cape Town. It's exciting. I mean, I'm not going to say it's my best work. I did it. There was a lot of I spent a lot of time with pudding on my face and in my hair.
Not bad.
And a lot of time. At one point, I think I had 4 stunt doubles because they're cheaper in South Africa. People are expendable in South Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about right.
You get as many as you want.
I have 4 co-hosts.
Yeah, really. Willis doesn't have that.
You guys should move the show to South Africa if you need to get rid of anybody.
Yeah, well, I will. No, I'm already.
What are you? You know, listen. I don't know. Did you see Home Alone 4? You didn't see it, did you?
Oh, Missy, I have news.
Oh no.
Yeah, listen.
I did. I'm going to explain you why. John Hughes is one of my idols.
Right.
And,
John Hughes did not write this.
No. And I just
this particular version.
I just needed to know how angry John Hughes was. I had to find out for myself. Now, in Home Alone 4, was that the Alex D. Linz kid or was that the other kid?
No, it's another kid.
Linz. Okay,
I can't remember his name.
And French Stewart, was that the third one or the fourth one?
That was the fourth one, French Stewart. And I played like, you know, because in number 4, it'd be, you know, we had it wasn't 2 bad guys anymore. It was a bad guy and his bad lady.
Yes.
I played the bad lady.
French is a talented guy. He did a lot.
He's a very talented guy. He's actually very funny. I mean,
yeah.
And he's a great
book, but yeah, that's nice of him. That's nice.
He what?
He won't add me on Facebook, but he's a funny guy. Usually,
he has a Facebook page.
He has a personal account.
Wow.
How am I supposed to make friends with French if he doesn't want to shake my Facebook hand?
He doesn't want to French you over the internet, as it were. Then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I'll give him a call. I'll see if I can befriend him, and then I'll tell him to befriend you.
Thank you.
I need the charity.
Now, you know what I was going to ask? You did a lot of movies in this time period. Bringing Down the House, Big Fish, which is a great flick. Great flick.
Mm-hmm.
51st Dates, Dodgeball, which is great. What for you in that time period, with the Anchorman even and Soul Plane, what for you was the best experience, like working on the set, and which for you was your favorite role?
I have to say, like, the role in Bringing Down the House was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, in most of these movies, you know, I'm like seventh or eighth down the call sheet, six, you know, maybe five here or there. And they were all really fun because they were all, like, kind of big comedies, and a lot of them, like, made a shit ton of money. Am I allowed to say shit ton?
Yeah, you're allowed to say
this
fuck
is not,
ton, shit
yeah.
ton, motherfucker.
Fuck ton. They made a fuck shit fuck, ton of money.
Fuck shit ton. I love
I forget. Never mind. That was really fun because...
Oh,
that's never good when a woman says, never mind.
Oh.
Never mind.
Listen,
have a date in order
it was there. It was there. Maybe I'll bring it back.
Bringing down the house.
Never mind us, Missy.
You and Queen Latifah are partying it up. Let's talk.
Right, and like I went in, you know, I had actually, when I moved to the city, I'd started doing, you know, Tai Bo. My character is like this girl who does Tai Bo. I'd gone with a friend of mine because I was studying Taekwondo in New York, and then I came here and I was like, yeah, Billy Blanks, you know what? He's an insane human being. He's really, really inspirational, but, you know,
yeah.
Nuts. You know, and these classes were crazy. So I actually knew what to do when I went in the audition. And I was kind of a pale, like, serious brunette. And my director, Adam Shankin, was like, this is great. You're going to be so great in this. We're going to dye your hair blonde and make you tan, which I thought was really kind of fun just because nobody had ever done that before. So then I turned into this blonde overnight, and then I had a massive spray tan. I'd come to work every day, and this gorgeous Eastern European woman would just cover me with, you know, brown makeup.
You
head to toe.
Good. I must be honest. Don't
pretty
tell
exciting.
Your husband I said this, but you look pretty good in that film.
Yeah, you look
good. Thank you.
Missy Pyle, let me ask you something on a personal level. I hear you live in Montana.
I'm in Montana right now, yes.
You're in Montana now, or do you live in L.A.?
I moved out here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I kind of go back and forth.
Okay. Now, why Montana? Was it to get away from L.A.? Was it to, you know, was it because I know your husband's an animal trainer, right?
Well, that's one of the things he does. He also has a TV show on Nat Geo Wild. And he started called Expedition Wild. He started a grizzly bear sanctuary with a couple other people out here. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I had to come out here was because we ended up getting married, and he has a bear sanctuary, which are not very mobile, as you may imagine.
Yeah.
Was
there an 800-pound grizzly bear at your wedding?
There was. Yes.
It's true?
Yes. It is true. Awesome. We were going to have him walk down the aisle as the ring bearer.
Stop me. Should we even have asked?
You know what's funny is, Mikey is half the size of a grizzly bear.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm a man right now, Missy, who's half the size of your ring bearer.
You know what? But
that's amazing.
Flower, so at weddings.
Yeah,
that's the ironic
he's
thing.
He's a flower girl.
He will bear no rings.
So,
wow.
So Missy, like, do you like getting away from L.A. though? How's Montana? What's it like?
It's really beautiful. It's freezing. It's fucking cold in the winter. I mean, it's cold. We had a long winter this year. We had like 9 months of winter. And then it's like 3 months aside. Like right now, it's so beautiful. It's crazy. There's beautiful mountains, fly fishing, you know.
Sounds like you do.
Animals everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds nice, you know, but.
Elk, bison, bear. I mean, there's nobody here. There's no people here. Like Los Angeles is a nightmare. You know, I come from here and it's like, I get off the plane and I get, you know, in a rental car or whatever. And I, you know, pull out the street and it's like, hey, you fucking asshole. That, and I'm like, what? I drive this 17-mile dirt road to go to the airport, and like there'll be like a herd of elk that just comes prancing in front of my car. a deer, whatever.
Montana,
a moose.
One of those you got to go somewhere else.
What? Wait, what's that?
Is there a good in Montana, or do you have to?
Where I live, there's Bozeman Airport, which actually has one direct flight a day on a relatively small plane on United at this point, which it usually is only a summer thing. Otherwise, I got to go through either Denver or Seattle or Salt Lake. But it's not too bad, you know.
Yeah. Now,
I can get to L.A. in 4 hours.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Texas.
Oh, so you've been
I lived in Texas and Tennessee, and then I moved to New York. I went to drama school in North Carolina. I mean, you know, it's really a fascinating story.
I don't know. It's kind of fascinating to me because you've done some moving and shaking,
it seems. Very few people have lived in L.A., New York, and Montana.
And Tennessee.
Or have done Home Alone 4 in South Africa.
Yeah, there you go. Home Alone 4 in Cape Town.
It was funny because obviously they, you know, the RAND is their monetary device. Is their monetary device?
Their
currency. Jesus. I don't even, like, the older I get, I can't remember the word, like, currency would takes like literally 10 seconds to pop in my brain. Anyway.
I don't remember.
That'd be hard for
so don't worry
on radio. But, you know, it's so cheap out there that that's why they filmed there, because it's like the peso. I mean, it's free, you know, it's like 11 rand to $1. And but they were shooting, like, pretending it was Chicago. And so we had this kind of palatial estate, but didn't look anything like anywhere in Chicago. But then they had this big tree out front that they just literally took a staple gun and stapled bark all over it, because it was a big palm tree. Up until just where the camera stopped. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's nice.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. I'll never see it. I'll never go there. But it sounds like...
You'll never go there.
No,
it
sounds like a picture in a book, though. Like, I would love to look in a book and look at it.
Yeah.
I could never do it. I can't go to Montana. Look, I just found out... We're moving to L.A. in a couple months. And I just found
out... Wait, where are you? You're not in L.A.?
No, I'm outside of Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait. She said, oh, okay. What does that
mean?
I'm reading it all.
Where are you in Chicago?
You ever see Wayne's World?
A long time ago.
Okay, they're from a town called Aurora, Illinois. We are one town over from that town.
Oh.
So what is it, one, two? No, we're not. No, it's Downers Grove, Naperville, Aurora. Who goes through Lyle? No one's heard of Lyle.
Oh,
Lyle's the size of my pinky finger.
You are pissing off so many of our Lyle fans right now.
Yeah, you're like in. These are your people.
Well, are they my people, Missy? Let me tell you about these people. Actually, I'm not going to get into it. Okay, can I move on to the theory I have?
Anyway,
I have a theory. That Missy Pyle, that Tim Burton has a small crush on Missy Pyle.
Oh, yeah? What did he say? What did he say about me?
No, he didn't say anything because he won't talk to me. But here's my theory.
Okay.
You have that look that he loves.
Yes, I know what you mean.
You know where I'm going with
this? Yes, that, yeah.
Sexy, but there's characteristics to her. Like, she doesn't look like the regular blonde bimbo. Like, she has characteristics.
What are those sexy but characteristics?
You have, like, character to you, Missy.
Like
you
just, polio? I don't know.
Eyes are, like, striking. You have these, like, don't make me sound gay here, Missy. In a good
My husband has a bear.
Oh.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, I've only worked with him the two times. You know, maybe Helen, or no, what's her name? Helena Bonham Carter?
He has a little bigger of a crush on her.
Yeah.
A little one.
And Lisa Marie was another one. She has a lot of character to her.
I don't know that there is an actress that has more character than Helena Bonham Carter.
No, right. He loves women.
She is.
Could be dark, maybe. Have a dark mystique to them. Yeah.
I could see that with Misty.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Are we creeping out?
No.
Wait a minute.
No.
You didn't even allow me to answer.
Okay, go ahead, Missy, if you must.
Only slightly.
Okay.
I kind of enjoy it. I like to be creeped out a little bit. I live in Montana. I have guns and bows and arrows here.
Oh, okay.
So she's not afraid of us.
God,
she's got guns in the house.
If we even approach that Montana house, there'll be traps going off, bears attacking
Listen,
us.
Lee, there's not a Democrat within 3 million miles of that place.
I don't
know. The math.
There are some Democrats. There are Democrats.
Doesn't count.
We almost went Democrat this past year.
Really?
Almost.
Well,
or not, that, whenever, when they, during the election.
Doesn't count. I know she lives around there. She gets naked, I hear, though, all the time. I hear they're nudists, the McDowells.
Who does that?
Andy McDowell.
Andy McDowell.
And this is not gossip. I saw her on Rosie O'Donnell's show like 10, 12 years ago when Rosie had a show, and she was talking.
Uh-huh.
They're nudists.
Yeah, that's great.
Uh-huh. Let me tell you guys something. I'm pretty confident my mother isn't listening to this, so
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and reveal something. My husband and I actually went to a resort not long ago. You know, because I like to float the topless business, and that's because it's I enjoy it. And I, you know, around here in Montana, we can't see anybody, so we do that. I'm occasionally topless. We go to this
Hold
place.
Hold on, I have to throw some water on my face.
I know. We go to this place in Montana. I mean, in Mexico. That's a resort that you can be. That's like a fully clothing option. I mean, totally, like full nudity place.
Continue.
I'm thinking this is going to be hot, and I walk in the door and there are more nude men. I mean, they are nude. Nudists are, does not equal sexy.
No, fat naked.
They were
nude men. Yeah,
fat, so many fat naked dudes with like very small penis. I mean, I realize it's not erect, but like you can't even see it. It's like the folds kind of a fat go. It was amazing. It looked like a place where men go to give birth. Never seen anything like it.
That's
it was a lot less sexy than I thought it would be.
No, but she's saying, I've heard this, that a lot of the nudist places at the resorts, it's all fat guys.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fat guys.
It's a lot of fat guys. And like the super hot girls, most of them were, there weren't that many, first of all, just a couple. And they were all like clothed, like wearing bathing suits, you know, but it was
Where
just like, what?
Confidence.
I wish.
What's know. That?
Where do they get
the I don't think it has any, yeah, I don't know, you know, and then a friend of mine told me that her boyfriend, which is something he's kind of, his dark little secret is that he grew up in a family of nudists. Mm. So, like, they used to go, like, his grandpa, like, his mom and dad, and, he, you know, up until he was, like, 11. I mean, can you imagine being, like, almost going through puberty and having to be naked with your mom? Like,
well,
paying, I don't know, do you play?
That's what Andy McDowell was doing. Show. And then I read an article, I forget what magazine, but I guess Shia LaBeouf and his mom. They're
Shia,
about their
they like to go in LaBeouf? That's
yeah.
amazing.
They're very open.
I don't know. I mean,
I cannot be naked around my mother. I can't be naked around myself.
Yeah, really.
I look in the mirror and I just, like, flip out.
I was naked one time when I was camping, a couple minutes. It was all right.
Yeah.
I actually like it. I mean, I liked, you know, the whole thing of like not wearing clothes, but I don't know. I was a little. I thought it would be something that I would be more enjoy more, but. And I kind of liked the idea of, like, going into the ocean without any clothes on, but...
Yeah, that's all right.
But here's the thing, Missy. Women don't got to worry about... Like, if you're in shape like you are, that's all that matters. You can have A cups, you can have D cups. Everyone's going to like you.
Right.
If you're a man and you're a little overweight and you're a grower, not a shower,
yeah.
Guess what? Guess what? You're the laugh.
I would say...
And trust
me. But I don't... But in these places, you know, I mean... I don't know what I expected.
I haven't been, and I'm not going anytime soon.
If you are,
don't tell my mother that I went.
I won't tell your mother, but I look like
I just told her I went to an all-inclusive
resort. My back looks like an orangutan's face. Okay.
No, you were engaged this weekend. I wanted to tell you were great.
Thank you very much.
You were fantastic. You hairy bastard.
Yeah.
You can always get a wax. Some electrolysis.
I
don't know, but there's also.
I've done wax.
You have?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You have to do it a lot in order for it to not
so
go back.
Missy, if I Google Missy Pyle nude, am I going to find any screenshots?
Don't ask her that.
I feel like, listen, it's okay. I actually, like, the one thing I have to say, you know, in my career that hasn't really ever happened is I'm not really known for being, you know, like a sex symbol. So the older I get, I'm sort of like, man, I really wish, because I don't think I'm like that bad looking, but I just, most of the stuff I do is comedy. And I did this movie, about 4 or 5 years ago called American Crude. And I was training for a marathon, like literally shooting a marathon. And so I was really skinny and I had, like, it was very, 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 you know, when you get thinner, your cup size, as it were, tends to go down. So there's this one scene where I'm playing a transsexual who gets out of the bathtub. And you never really believe that I'm a transsexual. The movie's actually... It's okay. I don't know how good it is, but
what's it called?
I get out of the bathtub, and he says, "He's like, oh, it's so far away. Don't even worry about it. Like, the director, you know, and I was like, wait a minute, you want me to just get out topless? He's like, yeah, do you even know? Nobody will ever know. Literally, like, cut to, you know, TMZ being like, Missy Pyle in American Crude and her pylons. So it's a side shot. It's not very exciting.
Missy, can I tell you something?
No,
two things.
Yes.
One, you should do the comic convention, because every nerd that's seen Galaxy Quest would be creaming their jeans over you. Two,
I'm sure.
Smoking in that. Two.
Yeah,
two,
that's
this is
good.
A big two. You may not think you're a sex symbol, but I know a lot of men that like you. A lot.
Really?
Oh,
yeah. That's nice.
I got a lot of messages today about you being on the show. Numerous
you
people
did.
To give you their number, and I'm like, I cannot do that. She is married, and she has a grizzly bear
mm-hmm.
for a pet. But
I love that. I love that I told you guys I went to a nudist. I haven't even told like most of my friends.
You
and there I'm telling you.
Fine. I am not a host of anything. I'm not an interviewer. This is a conversation with friends.
With friends.
Amazing. Yeah, it's funny. Like I've never had, you know, I worked with Shawnee Smith. We did a band. We had a band together, which we still kind of do. And you know, she's like a sex symbol.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually would go to some of these conventions. I mean, people would just get all clammy and sweaty to meet her, and she'd give them these really hot shots of herself, like where she's, you know, got her hands over her naked, you know, top, and she'd, like, sign her name and across her chest, you know, and I would have these kind of, like, you know, pictures of me as an alien. And I always thought, I always wanted to be a, like, I always wanted people to, like, kind of walk, but I never had that, you know, I never had a stalker, anything like that.
No, you don't need that.
I mean, there's still time.
Montana.
Right.
You're good in Montana.
Yeah, I just feel like
I don't know.
I feel like I've been denied.
No, you have not been denied at all. Wait, is this a Missy Pyle in a Al Gore T-shirt? What is this?
Oh yeah.
What's this about?
Well, it said re-elect Al Gore because he had won.
Never got old.
Right, re-elect Al Gore.
Oh, that's cute.
In 2004, I thought it was kind of fun. I thought it was
that's
a clever
cute.
Little shirt.
Yeah, you're funny. That's cute.
I used to be a Democrat. I'm not really anything now.
I believe it.
I don't want to be anything.
You know what, Missy? Did you work with Craig Bierko on Boston Legal? A good pal of mine.
Who?
Craigie Bierko.
Oh, Bierko. I didn't, but I do know him. Like, I didn't work with
him. He's a good pal.
Wait, maybe I did. I think he might have been in one of the litigation scenes. It's possible.
Oh, Craig, do you guys stories that
I played this
them with?
Wait, what?
I like juicy Craig stories that I can embarrass him with. Do you have anything?
Oh, I wish.
Next time.
I'm sorry.
We
could make something up.
Missy.
Yeah.
Yeah, make something up.
People who don't know Bierko probably have stories.
I know. Missy's like the first person that didn't have a Bierko story.
There was this night. He was so hungover that he literally, and we had this court scene that was really long. He literally shit his pants.
Oh,
so
there we go. We got our
on the set.
Getting story.
Okay.
Completely shit his pants.
For a while.
Yeah. We could check that off the
list. And you could hear, you could just, and it was a quiet scene.
Uh-huh.
And you could just hear it.
Oh, I got the dirt
on
it.
Nothing to be heard, seen, except for the sound of Bierko Hershey squirting.
Did you get to work on that little ditty, that Boston Legal?
Did I what?
Get to work with James Spader or Shatner?
I did. My scene, I played this character. They had initially gone out to Cher, and I guess she passed it like, I'm the go-to for Cher.
We love Cher on this show. We had Ron Zimmerman, her boyfriend, on last week.
Right? No way.
Yeah,
amazing.
Ron, friend of mine. Yeah, I love him.
You guys are so popular. So
no, we're not,
I had...
We're not. No.
So
don't
I end up doing... I end up doing the my scene with what's his name? James Spader. And I didn't really know what to do that. My character was supposed to have, like, no sense of humor and be very kind of flat. And so he would act to me, and then I would just kind of... All I did in the scene was mimic him back to him. Pretty much, you know, and he was like, and they were like, that is the most genius thing. I was very flat. I mean, he's such a good actor. And it was actually very funny. We ended up becoming decent friends, like kind of buddies from it. But it was just really funny. Like I just kind
of you're buddies with Jimmy Spades.
He's like my BFF. Actually, I don't know if they're married. His girlfriend, they have his baby mama. They might be married by now. Leslie Stephenson was also a waitress with me in As Good as It Gets.
Was she the brunette?
So she was like the redhead, the really pretty one,
oh.
Like kind of strawberry blonde.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and like when I first met James, I had heard all these stories about him, and I was really scared. And then he's like, the first thing he said to me is, "You know my girlfriend." And then we became friends, like kind of fast friends. It was great. Mm-hmm. Right?
Put in a good word with me for Jimmy Spades. He won't do my show.
We want him on the show.
The Spade.
Yeah, the Spade. Right. I've been trying to get him. You know what? You know what's annoying, Missy, and your publicists have been great. But let me just tell you. Let me just get this out here. I know a bunch of publicists that say they're clients are unavailable, and then I'll personally call up their clients myself, and they're on my show the next day. What the fuck's the deal with that? Can you explain to me the publicity thing?
I think, I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. They just kind of like, they only want them to do the humongous shows or whatever. I don't know. I mean, like, it is kind of a funny thing because.
Yeah, because I call them up personally, and it's, oh, yeah, Matt, when do I do it? Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't tell you, to be honest. But my agents are like that, too, about projects and whatnot, like little projects that they think, you don't want to do that, you know.
Projects, though.
No.
I wouldn't turn down anything, ever. If I was available and I could work, I'd do it.
Well, at this point,
I will tell you that's been kind of what I've done. And, I mean, then you have somebody ask you 11 years later, what's up with Home Alone 4? You did it.
Hey, but
see?
You know what? I never said that it was bad. You got a payday out of it, and that's what matters.
No, we never said that.
As long as they pay.
I'm going to go with it's pretty bad, but I actually really had fun. I actually had fun with Eric Avari and French Stewart, and I mean, we had a ball. We would,
there you go.
You know,
that's the thing you asked
hang
me
out, play guitar, throw
getting
fruit in the pool.
Getting drunk in Cape Town, I'm sure. Good
it was a lot of fun, yeah. Okay. I mean, and it's crazy because, you know, you come to the airport and then you drive through all these townships, you know, these like shanty towns. And I mean, they're just, it's like shocking because it's just, there's these communities that are just shack after shack, and they're all like together, huddled together in these areas, you know, as if people have come in and just made these like little shacks out of tin, and then you drive into the city. It's just like, oh my, and the whole, you know, whole country is like, then when I was there, it was 2000 and apartheid had just ended in 1994. Like,
yeah.
It's like segregation has just ended. It was so crazy.
You know what I was going to ask?
It's a bizarre world.
I know you did some Broadway too, right?
Not about apartheid. You don't want me to continue talking about that?
No. Okay.
Yeah,
no.
I did.
You have these random.
I did Boeing.
And for some reason, Broadway is like.
Did you do any apartheid related Broadway?
Yes.
Yes. I wrote a play entirely about apartheid. It was a silent play, a sign language.
Oh
no,
goodness.
I did. I know. Boring. Amazing. I did Boeing. I played a German flight attendant in Boeing, which was on Broadway in 2008 and 2009. I took over for Mary McCormack.
Ooh, love her.
Ooh.
Yeah, she had been nominated for Tony, and actually it was down to her and I for the part, but then she ended up getting the part. So then I came in and just took over for her. It was really fun.
You're 5'11", Missy?
Yes, I'm very tall.
That's
very tall.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that. That's just disappointing.
Why is it disappointing? How tall are you? You're not 5'11"? You're shorter?
5'6", Missy. I don't know how you feel about the short men.
Yeah, I'm
You know what? I actually like the short men better than the tall men, because most tall men, it's funny, like the taller men, for some reason, I think, they don't love tall women. And I'll never forget this. I was at like Shawnee and I were singing the national anthem at some like NASCAR celebrity race, and there was this basketball player. He's like 6'10", and he, my publicist was like, hey, go take a picture with him. So I went and took a picture with him. I couldn't tell you who he is because I don't really know much about basketball. But he puts his arms around me. He's like, whoa, you're fine for a tall lady. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I was like, I don't understand. Like, what does that mean? He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, what? No, really, what are you saying? Like, tall women. And he's like, I don't know. Just, you know, like when I was in school, all the tall is. I don't know. It was just kind of, you know. I was like, no, I don't know what you mean. Like, I don't know, like, awkward or, you know, I don't know.
I like that
you said
something so smooth, but you ask one follow-up question and he completely comes apart.
Completely came apart. It was amazing.
I wish
I could tell you his name.
Can I ask you something?
Let's do it.
You and Shawnee Smith decided to form a band, or I don't know, a musical duo, if you will, is because you wanted to be the hottest two women in country music, or
stop it. I think that was it. She was like, I said I've always wanted to be in a band. She said, do you want to be in the hottest two women in country music? And I said, yes.
That was a good plan. It worked.
Yeah.
It went well.
Yeah, it was really fun. We did it for a while. Then Shawnee had another kid, so we've kind of taken a little hiatus.
Fucking Shawnee.
But
so
she's
selfish.
Something else, that Shawnee
so
Smith. Selfish. Have you had her on?
Selfish.
I'd love to have Shawnee on. Oh, yeah.
You said Shawnee. She just did a movie with, what's his name?
Don't matter. It really don't
exactly.
matter.
In Louisville, or in, like, Atlanta. What's about that guy? He's Kevin Spacey? No.
That guy, Kevin Spacey? Yeah, he did.
No, the other one that was married to Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton. She did Billy Bob Thornton, maybe.
I don't know. I got the biggest crush on Shawnee ever.
Yeah.
I bet she's...
Oh, my God. You got to Shawnee on the show. She's literally, like, the sexiest human alive is Shawnee Smith.
She's married.
I've never seen... No, she's not married.
Oh, she's just popping out kids. I like this.
She just likes to use men and then spit them out.
She's the single waitress with money is what it is.
Is she as tall as you?
Yeah. No, she's like 5'1".
Oh.
All right, Matt.
Hello, Shawnee.
Hello.
Missy, do you think you could set up Shawnee and I?
Totally. Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe, yeah.
Good hair for that
Missy,
day.
Missy, that's a tall order.
No, it's a short.
Oh, for God's sakes. You've done it again.
Shawnee Smith was on this episode of Law & Order LA this year. Oh, man. Was she looking okay?
Yeah.
She was looking all right.
Yeah, I actually went. We actually did a gig after one of her shooting days, and I was like, holy shit, blonde mama.
Yeah.
She does. She kind of goes back and forth between the colors, as most women do.
I'm going to have Shawnee on. I'm going to ask her.
You got to have Shawnee on.
Oh. Totally unprofessional, but I'm not a professional to begin with.
Yeah. That was
clearly not.
What a noble use of this medium.
Missy just said I'm really not. She was supposed to
be. No, I said clearly. Clearly not.
Yeah, no, clearly. I'm not a professional. No.
Okay.
What else did I want to bring up about? Because you have a very interesting career. I did want to ask you about the Stars documentary you did.
Oh, yeah.
Faces You Know. What was it called?
The Face is Familiar.
Face is Familiar.
Right?
How do you feel being an actress or an actor or whatever, you know, woman's lib. I don't know if you like actor or actress.
Woman's lib.
Women's lib, yeah, because this is 1982. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, you seem like a cool broad. But, okay, my question is, how do you, what?
What? We that's
Mikey, we've gone over Broadway, Annabelle Gurwitch, a number of women on this show, and they are fine with it.
Annabelle gave it the okay.
Missy, is broad an okay term of endearment?
Absolutely. I don't know what's wrong with broad.
Now that are okay with
thank
broad.
Thank you. So anyways.
Any hoosers.
Anyways. How do you one of those actors?
Any hoosers I have a problem with, but broad is amazing.
Yeah, any hoosers
I like
is
any
just
hoosers.
Weird and creepy.
Oh,
and
yeah, you've never said that on
why
the
don't
show.
You just ask a child to get in your car, any hoosers? that note there.
Oh.
Any hoosers. Amazing. I've never heard that before.
How do you feel being one of those actors where everyone places your face, but, you know, it's not exactly like they're like, oh, who is she? I know her from somewhere. Or they know your character's name. Like, how do you feel as an actor about that?
I don't give a shit. I mean, I guess on some level. Like, once in a while, somebody would be like, hello, Missy. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, do I know you? And they're like, no, I know, you know, that I'm an actor. That happens very rare. But, like, I mean, I guess if I were better known, I would get more work, which would be good. But I wouldn't particularly want to be that person who everywhere you go, everyone is kind of walking kind of funny, walking into things because they're staring. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you,
when, you know, one of my
work and then
buddies is a,
which isn't much, but you have work with me whenever you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sure. Not that
amazing.
I can work, but you know,
I don't believe you. I don't believe that you have a job for me. I think you're bluffing.
What, though? I had a very good interview with Phil Rosenthal today. I'm turning
into, you did?
Yeah, I went from like the Z list to the Y list. I'm climbing.
Mm.
I'm climbing.
I'm so impressed.
You know what? Did you go to the MTV Movie Awards when you were nominated?
I did.
How was that? Did you have a good time?
I did. It was fun.
It was you and Queen Latifah, correct?
Mm-hmm. We didn't win. That was like the year of Kill Bill. Like, I don't know how any person can nominate for, I mean, can compete for best fight with Kill Bill. But, yeah.
Now, what do you want to do more these days, Missy, act or sing?
I really love singing. It's been a lot of fun. And I have to say, like, I think if I could make money, I would ditch the entire acting thing for the music thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'm like not the world's greatest musician, you know?
Yeah.
Have you been touring, though?
We went touring a little bit. We've taken a hiatus. The touring I thought was fun, but I after a couple weeks, like, I don't know how musicians do. I understand why people have heroin habits. Like, I understand. Because you only are really working for, like, from, you don't have to get up until, I don't know. I guess if you're on a tour bus, that's a little
different.
Yeah, it's
different, like being a stand-up comedian. You get up when you get up.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah, you work for like an hour and a half. and it's amazing. And you drink a lot of booze. Or at least we did.
Are
we
you the Eddie
booze.
Vedder of the band?
Kind of. Yeah, I kind of am.
That's awesome.
She's married. Calm down.
It's a little bit, literally, like, after a week of being on tour, I think, like, I would die if I was still, like, to be in a real band, and we legitimately went on, like, a, you know,
yeah, you
a 25-city tour.
Yeah.
I'd never make it.
No.
Never.
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't do it.
Is there something?
And the thing is, like, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Missy. Oh, go ahead. Way more important.
Well, musicians will, you know, the top tier, they make very little money. Unless you're like a big, big, big star.
Yeah, this isn't the 90s anymore, yeah.
No, and the internet just destroyed it all. Like, granted, like, we kind of were a good time, I would say, to play with. So we didn't really have that much trouble getting a band, but we never paid them, like, very much at all. We'd give them, like, for three rehearsals and a performance, we'd give them, like, $60 a piece. Like, we'd give them everything we made, but we only made, like, you know, we never did any huge venues.
Hip-hop and
we
rap.
Toured and
sell, though, Missy. You should do rap or hip-hop. You and Kanye do a song.
Okay.
Diddy.
I'll go do that right now.
Yeah, let's go set that up.
He's actually been calling me on the other line. He's been trying to beep in.
Not
so
important enough, Kanye. Fucker. Any Hoosers.
Exactly.
Any
there
Hoosers.
You did it. There it is.
I was calling back.
Oh, yeah.
Do you say that on every show?
Yes, he does.
I don't say any Hoosers. That was Lee that said any Hoosers.
The last time I said it, that was the first time I ever said it on the show.
That's like a comma to you.
Uh-huh.
Everything with you is any Hoosers.
Are you kidding me?
It's true.
Oh.
It's true. I've transcribed.
Oh, Missy, if only you could.
Steve, get in my Greyhound and run him over, would you?
If only I could tell you of the lies.
Speaking of Missy, I think Missy, if Shawnee ever misses a date, you call me. I'll be the other hot chick.
You should be.
Wow.
We'll do a lot of songs. We're going to have to do covers mostly because I don't write.
No.
I do other people's songs better. That's my thing.
Why don't you do our songs? Why don't you just cover our songs?
I could cover your songs.
Matt and I
I don't know if I really need to. I don't know if I really. If it's appropriate for me to cover Spanking.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Maybe it is. Maybe
is it?
See if I do it. I don't know. One Night Stand. I don't know if it's as sexy if I do it. I Wish You Were Dead. That's a
yes.
That's a number.
It's a love song.
Tell me about "I Wish You Were Dead." Is this a Shawnee or a Missy collab? Or is it
that was the very first song I ever wrote, and I wrote it after a breakup. I had someone, you know, break up with me, and I was really upset.
Out of the blue.
And it literally, like, for whatever reason, I just started writing the song, and it came. I wrote it for a comedy show, and I wrote the song in like 5 minutes, and it just made me laugh because So I don't know, if you heard it.
That's your Piano Man, because that's Billy Joel wrote Piano Man in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It is a pretty good song. I mean, it's pretty stupid, but, you know.
I
managed to get in.
Chick's song, what was it, Earl? What was the one with Dennis Franz? Wasn't it Dennis Franz in that video?
I don't know.
I know a lot about the Dixie Chicks. Don't ask.
Okay, we won't. Don't want to. Okay. Don't want to.
But it's one of those songs where it's like, not tongue-in-cheek, but kind of like funny.
Yeah.
About killing
people.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah, I wish you were.
Yeah, I say, like, I wish you were dead with a hole in your head, you know, da-da, and then I say.
Just a hole.
You're a really great dancer, but I wish you had cancer. Or maybe mouth and genital herpes is the answer.
Wow. Yeah. Did Peter Tolan write this song or Missy Pyle?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, really.
I mentioned hepatitis C. Yeah, I managed to get a lot of things in it. It's a, you know,
yeah,
it's a very cheery, upbeat song.
Yeah.
Our banjo player heard it, and he was like, that's the orneriest song I think I've ever heard. Called it ornery.
Do you find you get more of a rewarding feeling from doing the music than movies? Is that why maybe it has more allure? Because you enjoy the success immediately doing a live performance?
I think, I love doing movies. Don't get me wrong. I mean, and depending on what the specific roles are, obviously, they can be kind of terrific. Like, I've had a great time doing certain jobs. I think partially because it's our own music. It's stuff that we wrote, and I think being in front of the audience like that kind of right away, it's just fun. It's fun to put on a rock show, you know, and working with Sean is really fun. I actually started working with another girl, too, who's not an actress, and I really like her. She's actually very, very, she's really talented, way better than I am, but, like, I don't know that I'm the alpha. And the relationship with Shawnee, you know, I'm, like, twice her size, but she's definitely the alpha. She's... Mm.
How did you feel, Miss?
Scary.
How did you feel?
And amazing.
Mm-hmm. When Maxim named you number 98 out of 100?
It was actually 97. It was 97.
97?
I feel like.
Well, we need to get that fixed then.
Yeah.
The internet has you at 98.
The internet has me at 98 because I think they listed the numbers, like, and they must have listed my name and then 98, but I'm 97.
Or you have a grudge.
I barely fucking made it in there. And the picture of me is this kind of creepy, scary-looking picture where it looks like I have, like, a knife in my hand.
Well, maybe they want to get you the goth crowd or something.
Yeah,
they want to
mark
the emo
maybe.
Crowd. Like Lee.
I was pretty impressed with that, though.
A girl shot down Lee, and he went home and cried and signed up for Match.com.
Yeah.
Those were the kind of guys they were going for when they put that picture in Maxim.
And let me just say, I think the whole 98 thing, the internet is totally wrong about this.
Yeah, she's at least 93.
Oh. At least.
Thank you so much. Oh my God.
We've raised you.
Yeah. 93 is not bad.
I barely snuck in there. I was pretty impressed that I snuck in there.
Okay, my producer Caesar, it's been a while since I called him an idiot. Can I call him an idiot?
Free speech.
So one of our producers on this show, and the producer on this show I should say, I apologize, Caesar.
Okay.
yeah, he'll get a little fired up. He wanted me to ask you, I don't know why this, this is the stupidest fucking thing. Do you know Diane Warren? Because we had her on the show, and he just wants to know if you know Diane.
I don't know her.
Yeah, what an idiot.
What a shock.
Why would you know Diane Warren?
I can't place her at the moment. I'm assuming I don't know her.
She's a music writer.
Oh, yes. Okay. No, I don't know her.
So I guess he's trying to. I guess that's the connection. I just can't
but
even
maybe
here because we're talking music. Does everyone in music have to know each other? Do all black people know each other? No, that's not how it works.
I thought so.
No,
I'm confused.
Missy, then we need to have a talk.
Oh,
not all black people know each other.
No,
Mexicans.
Okay.
So
Greeks, yes.
Amazing. Look, we'll just go down the road.
Italians.
Bruce Fretz is commenting on Leslie Mann's boobs again on the internet. Do you know Bruce Fretz?
I don't.
Oh, he hasn't jeered you or cheered you in TV Guide yet. He should cheer you for being hot.
Let's have him do that. Let's call him. Let's call him right now.
We could call him right now. I already had him on today, though.
Yeah.
Let's call Bruce Fretz. Let's see if he'll call in. Hold on.
I am doing the first episode of Two and a Half Men.
Really? The new...
I am.
Men.
Oh,
I did. I just shot it.
You could give us some dirt on that. Okay, we're definitely getting Bruce on.
I mean, right. I could, but I signed a confidentiality thing. But I think everything that... I think it's already all on the internet.
Yeah.
So just give us a little bit. You don't have to give us all of it. Hold on. We'll have Bruce call in, though.
We'll see.
I'm going to get him to call in. I just texted him right now. I'm bothering him.
Let's see what he has to say.
See, this is the thing.
I don't know. I mean, I don't do a ton of TV. I mean, I do... I've literally done like 11 pilots. I've never had one get picked up.
You've done quite a bit of you've been on some shows though. I mean, you're not a stranger.
Yeah, but nothing. You know, like I only did one series for like 6 episodes, and then I got the plug pulled.
Bruce,
literally,
Bruce,
like they came in halfway during the day, and they were like, "I was doing a series, a David E. Kelly series with Terry Polo, and in the morning she goes, they're going to pull the plug today." And I was like, no, they're not. That's ridiculous. And literally, they walked in. They were like, oh, we're shutting down. I was like,
good.
No, it was one of the producers came in and just was like, we're done. I'm sorry. And then we shot for like a couple more hours. And...
It's not that, nice that they apologized, though, and said sorry.
Yeah.
And usually.
They were.
Hollywood.
No.
I haven't gotten a single sorry in Hollywood yet. I usually.
You don't. It's because you don't live there.
That's true. I'll get more sorries when I live there.
When you live there, you'll see how sorry you are.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cares enough about me to apologize to me.
So my question then is, are you playing one of Charlie's ex-girlfriends in the 2 and a Half Men?
Yes.
Okay, you are. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you're doing, I know about what's going on with that. That's good. That's good.
Well, my husband says to me, he goes, so what happens in the episode? And I was like, oh, I can't tell you. He's like, well, they're at the funeral. He's reading online, and he's telling me all the stuff that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess so.
Whoever leaked that to Nikki Fink's in a lot of trouble. But, I mean, you were on 2 and a Half Men for...
Yeah.
Like what, twice? Once?
I was on twice. I actually... another girl came on because I was doing Boeing when they tried to bring me back.
Mm.
And I was doing Boeing, and another actress came on and played my character for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, how is it working with Charlie Sheen?
I really enjoyed working with... The first time I worked with him was like 2005, maybe? It was a long time ago.
Yeah, like
and he was
your second season.
Yeah, he was great. It was a lot of fun. And by the next time... I did another one of these episodes where there were a bunch of, it was Charlie's Nightmare, and so it was a bunch of girls in a dream sequence. So all these hot girls, you know, and these, just in the room. And he was kind of in heaven. But at that time, I think it was just after he'd, like, pulled the knife on his wife after their kids were born.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then he was actually in rehab, so he was going from the set to rehab and then back, you know, like he was allowed to go to work, but that was it.
That's
and he was
good.
In pretty decent spirits, probably because he had like 20 hot women in a room, in a room with him.
You know.
But I mean, you know, obviously, you know, it's a little sad the whole thing went down.
I agree.
And definitely the mood on the set was pretty. I mean, people loved him, you know, on that crew. They really loved him.
That's what I heard. I heard
it was
everybody.
A little odd.
Yeah, I heard he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went in the dressing, you know, in the costume room for my fitting and looked up at the, in the room where they had, there was this empty rack where all of his, you know, those bowling shirts were.
Yeah.
All of them, just, you know, 200 or whatever there were.
Yeah.
Just gone. Sad.
Well, I feel bad for Marty Sheen, and I definitely feel bad for Emilio.
I knew them.
They got some work to do over at that house.
Gordon Bombay, you did not just bring that up.
I did.
I don't even know what that is.
Martin
I went over my
people?
Head.
Do you want to hear something awful, Missy? This is gossip between you and me.
And yeah.
and how many listeners do you have?
No, really, you and me.
Okay.
Here's the deal. No, we have some good listeners. We're decently popular on the iTunes.
A couple thousand
subscribers.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, sure.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. So anyway, they're mostly jagoffs. No, I'm sure they're smart people.
Who would like to jack off? Which is who doesn't?
Exactly.
I did say jag off, but you took it to jack off.
Jack off.
Which is,
I don't know what a jag off. What is a jag off? What does that even mean?
A jag off is what your father said about people in traffic.
Yes.
It's the person who isn't really doing anything. Yeah, and they only use it in Chicago. You're right. Yeah,
it's a Chicago.
You
thing.
Don't find it.
We call my friend Christine, who's from Chicago. We call them jang rods.
Jang rods.
Jang rods.
Yeah, like, look at that jang rod. That's not racial.
It could be Chinese or Japanese.
It could be, but it isn't. It's a jang rod.
Can't get
actually,
to my
it's, from, it's a person from Chicago.
I got a Marty Sheen story here, and I'm talking about jang rods, and I'm probably getting letters from the NAACP.
What's wrong with a jang rod? A jang rod is a completely made-up name that has no
association be contacted.
For God's sakes.
Turn off his mic.
What?
Okay, Missy, I call Martin Sheen's people because we had on Josh Molina. And I'm a big fan of Josh's, and, you know, I want to get Brad Whitford and all those West Wing guys. And okay, so I call Marty Sheen, and they go, Marty would love to do the show, but he's pretty much been out of the country ever since the Charlie Sheen thing happened.
Oh, where is he?
A week ago.
Where is he?
I don't know. They wouldn't tell me where. They
didn't
want me to go visit. But
my guess is Bali.
Yeah, because they probably know I'm crazy enough that if they say, like, yeah, Bali, I'm on a plane to Bali with my gear and doing a show with Martin in his dressing room or whatever he's got going on over there.
On the beach. Let's go. Let's go to Bali.
I don't think Marty's
getting why don't you just go do a radio show where you're actually on a quest to find Martin Sheen?
Like a
and you just go from tropical, like, resort to, you know, and small plane, and you ask people if Charlie Sheen, if Martin Sheen is there until you find him.
Your country.
It'll be like Roger and Me, except not political, and it'll be about Martin Sheen.
I don't think Marty's going to want to talk to me, though. Because I think he
if you
want to
make
talk
a show about it and you go all the way there,
I could promise
and there,
to
and there, and there.
I don't know. From now, we're booked anyways till like November, so that'd be a hard trip to pull off at the moment. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to settle for interviewing Davey Cools, Dave Coulier, or whoever's available. All the big names.
Yeah.
Johnny Stames, maybe.
Well, have Bruce on for that.
Do you have a favorite sitcom, Missy, that you watched in the 80s or 90s growing up?
Yeah, it's been a theme today.
How much time do you have?
I got all the time in the world. Obviously, you weren't listening earlier because we were playing a lot of theme musics. Payne's made the cut, Perfect Strangers, Family Matters.
I watched Perfect Strangers. I watched Mork and Mindy. I watched Who's the Boss. I watched, you know, I got to remember, I was like 14 and horny. So I watched Growing Pains. I liked The Cosby Show. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, The Cosby Show.
I danced
with wish that was my family.
We all do.
Apparently that wasn't even his family.
No, I wish I was
shockingly.
My mom was a doctor and my dad was a lawyer. The other way
it'd be
around.
Be amazing.
Yeah, I would
exactly.
Have been, yeah.
Whichever, it would have been fine.
Yeah, whatever. I would have been better off. But, no, I love my parents.
Watched a lot of The Love Boat. MacGyver. I watched a lot of TV for a while.
MacGyver.
I think I watched every day for like 3 hours.
Oh
MacGyver.
Oh my God.
Sammy Simon, next Wednesday on the show.
That's
Sam
right.
Simon. There's my Sam Simon plug. I love Sam Simon.
He loves you.
Which one is Sam Simon?
He's one of the creators.
Of The Simpsons.
Of the Simpsons.
Oh.
And
oh. That show.
Of Taxi and Cheers.
I watched a lot of Cheers. I've probably seen every episode of Cheers.
That is awesome.
That was a great show.
You and me both, because I love Cheers as well. Now, oh,
hey, who told you you could be friends with Ron Zimmerman?
I interviewed him.
You didn't interview him.
Oh, my God.
Everyone's adding all my friends on Facebook, Missy.
It happens.
Now I know Bill Rosenthal doesn't have a book. This is why.
I'm thinking of going off of the Facebook.
You're on the Facebook?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I think that's how we got in touch, isn't it?
Yeah, but why are you thinking of going off the Facebook? You're missing out on Bruce Fretz and his fruity drinks. You're missing out on me and my statuses. There's a lot of action on the book.
You're missing out on pictures of me sunburnt at cookouts.
You're not missing out on
that. Oh, that sounds fun. Wow. Never mind then, I guess.
Missy, you're on the book, though.
I am.
Why do you want to leave?
I'm on the book.
Why would you want to
leave? I'm also on the twit. I'm on the twit.
You're on the twit, yes. And the twits?
How do you feel about that 140 character limit? What's your take on that?
Good one, Steve.
I like it. I feel like it keeps me from having to read drather from other people.
Blather. I like blather.
Blather.
Blubber.
Blubber.
Dearth. People's excess blubber. I don't know. I still don't really get the Twitter. It's kind of nice if you're like gonna perform. Your band's gonna perform.
Yeah, you.
Or you're gonna be on something. Well,
yeah. I didn't know. But why would you want to leave the book again? Are people bothering you? Do you have like? Did you add everybody?
Is it nervous?
You shouldn't add
everybody. I don't. I have not added everybody. Although I've added more people than I would like to.
Well,
I will say that.
You don't need to get off the book. You just need a cleaning.
You just need to do a sweep.
You know, the thing is, it's like, it's hard to say no to somebody that like went to high school with you, but I don't even really remember them anymore. But the other thing is, I feel like it's, you know, the idea that you put something on there and then you get an ad back that's like, oh, you know, like you say.
Missy Pyle on the book.
I'm getting married. And then they're like, oh, they have all these wedding ads. I just feel like, you know, it's a little creepy. Everybody knows a little too much about you. And by everybody, I mean like, the people behind the curtain.
Yeah. I'm going to send Missy Pyle a hello on the book.
Okay.
You're friends with Larry Poindexter?
Yes.
How do you feel about Mr. Poindexter? He's a bud.
Why?
Pal.
He's a friend of yours?
Larry Dirk, too.
He's all right. I mean, I don't really know him. I just kind of know him through the internet world, which is
weird. Yeah, you on the book because you're hot.
Yeah,
that
right.
Poindexter's always up.
What can you do? Here's the thing that I don't like about Twitter and kind of the book. I feel like in my real life, like I don't spend as much time talking to my friends as much as I do. Maybe I would have told somebody something that I thought was kind of funny. Instead, I'm like writing in 140 characters to, you know, a bunch of strangers in the internet.
You are allowed, Missy, to call me and gossip at all times. I'll just sit and listen. You could call me anytime. You don't need to go to the book.
Day or night.
Just give me a ring. I'll be like your best friend since you're married.
It'll be a very much
best friend who isn't gay.
Missy.
Well, first of all, we can pretend. Because you know I want Shawnee anyways, because she's single. She's single.
She's signal.
And
signaled.
She's
signaled me.
She with flags.
I think it was in one of those Saw movies.
Like a Coast Guard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Winslow in those Saw movies.
Eddie Winslow was in a Saw movie.
He was. He gets brutally
killed. Darius McCray.
Yes, he gets brutally killed.
Yeah.
I really want to get brutally killed in something. I've committed suicide in a movie, but I've never been like, I want to be shot up or I want to explode.
Well, Saw is your movie then. Saw, you need to be in like Saw 8 or whatever they're at.
You know
but Saw, I think they're at Saw 28 by now. I'm not sure, but I think it's 28.
The most fun movie death is to get riddled with bullets like Sonny Corleone, but you know, so few movie deaths are like that, you know?
Here comes the pretension.
Oh, that's all, period. That's all I had to say, period.
Calm down, facets.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. All right, Missy Pyle, I do have a question for you. What do you got coming up? What kind of work can we expect out of Missy Pyle?
I have a couple movies coming out that are like some independent movies. I was in this French film, The Artist. I went to Cannes.
I heard it was silent.
It's quiet. It's silent, bought by the Weinsteins. I'm in that. I played John Goodman's wife.
Oh. Who paid?
Let's see. Did
John Goodman pay for that, or how does that work?
No, he just was in it. Did he pay me to be his wife?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
quite
if John Goodman can get you, that means I have a shot.
I have a couple other independent movies that are coming out.
Very nice.
I don't know when or if they will be in a theater, but that'll be in the theaters in September. And then doing another episode of The Men's List. And I'm writing a movie at the moment. Yeah, I'm back on The Mentalist.
She likes you when you're on The Mentalist.
Oh, that's very. Tell her I said hello.
Well, she lives. This is actually her house. I do the show from the basement, so
yeah.
She's probably listening in through the vents.
Amazing.
That's the.
Are
truth.
You really in the basement of your mom's house? You're not.
I no. seriously am.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Is it?
You still live at home with your mom?
Yes.
Listen, Missy.
Yes, he does.
One, I'm only.
I'm just asking.
I'm only 27. Second of all, before we judge.
Are you really only 27?
Yes. What did you think I was, 57?
Oh, no.
August 15th, 1983. Birthday, Monday.
83?
Yep, 83.
Mine's in May of 83.
Infant.
I'm an infant?
Yeah,
well, good. Then maybe I still have a shot at making a life out of this. Or out of something.
I think...
We did just.
I don't know why you're leaving your mom's basement, though. That's pretty awesome.
But you know, it is awesome.
It is kind of awesome.
My writing partner, Steve, and I get a lot of time to write, so we just did a Modern Family spec script down here.
We do, yeah.
And, yeah, we like writing.
I just am... I've just finished a screenplay that I wrote.
Ooh.
With a young lady.
Am I in it?
Yes. This whole scene is
about. First of all, this is turning into the kind of conversation that you pay a few dollars a minute for. Am I?
Listen, this is like two people at the bar just yapping. All right, Missy, is there a small role for myself in this flick?
Yeah.
There is. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. Is Tony Shalhoub going to be in it?
I don't know.
Jimmy Spade?
I hope you don't lose out your part to Tony Shalhoub.
Whoa.
Could happen.
You know what? I will knock him out with one of his Emmys if he even comes close to that.
I get you and Tony Shalhoub confused a lot, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute.
Amazing.
Yeah, not really. See, she's got that tone going right now that girls have where they're like, oh, my God, what a nerd.
When will this be over? I'm kidding.
Oh, I got to let Missy go. No,
yeah.
I've had enough of her.
Oh, no.
That's fat coming out of you, girl.
Listen,
yeah,
I started drinking at the beginning of this interview.
Best friend.
Yeah. What is that? You didn't say girlfriend.
Missy, I could totally pull off this gay best friend for you.
You could.
Thank you. That's acting.
Acting.
I can't believe you're only 27.
I am. Why, are you looking at a picture of me right now going, he's at least 42?
She can't get over it.
No, our internet is very slow here. Like, we don't have any, we live in a geodome.
Oh, it's
on
like
20
that.
Acres in the middle of the woods.
Well, where
and we have satellite internet. Yeah, literally. It's like satellite, and we don't get any cell service or, you know.
Wow.
Texting.
That's pretty interesting.
So I could look you up, but it's run by a team of oxen, the satellite service. It's very slow.
When you're out in L.A., and when I move out of my mother's basement in a few months, you should come sit in and do the show in person.
That sounds like a sweet-ass time.
It is.
Maybe me and Shawnee will do it together. That'd be fun.
You and Shawnee bring your guitars.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will rock out with you. And
that sounds fun.
Probably, actually. I'm not going to... Look... People got to pay to see me perform. But, I would love to have you two on performing. And, you know, maybe...
Let's do it.
Oops, there's a spaghetti dinner with a glass of wine on the table for Shawnee. I don't know what happened. Handle.
You guys each have one end of spaghetti and you...
Yeah. Oops.
You suck on it and then your lips touch.
I'll claim it for the show.
Right. Where did this fiddle playing guy come from?
I'm going to be like, oh, it's all for the radio show.
Her mustache, he's wearing a tuxedo. How did he get in here?
This sounds like a good time. And maybe I'll have Ron Zimmerman and Cher over. We'll have a big double date.
Right.
Let's do it. I love Ron and Cher. I think they're coming over tonight to the Geodome.
Cher's 30-year younger stunt double?
Mm-hmm.
You do
Amazing.
Know Cher.
Wow.
Ooh.
Me? No, I've never met her.
Yeah, she don't know me either, but Ron does. I still haven't met Cher. I kind of want to. But I don't want to
meet Cher?
Yeah, but I don't want to ask Ron, you know? I don't want to be like, hey, can you introduce me to Cher? And I'm not a prick.
Well, he probably gets that all the time.
But I would, I know, and that's why I don't want to be a douchebag. But I wouldn't mind if accidentally I bumped into Cher hanging out with Ron.
Oh, hey.
That wouldn't be bad.
Oh, hey, Cher.
Hyman can make that happen for me.
Now, are they still together, Ron and Cher?
No. Well, kind of. It's complicated on Facebook, I think. She is on Facebook, Missy. She's on Facebook, but she's very hidden.
That's how they met.
Yeah, they met on Facebook.
No, they didn't.
Swear to God, Missy. Yep. Swear to God. Do me a favor, Missy. I know you hate this show and you get no internet. But when you do get internet and you don't hate this show as much.
I don't hate this show.
No, I know.
I never said I hated it.
The weeks go by and the pain is less. Do me a favor. Look up Ron Zimmerman's show. You will love it. It's 3 hours.
I did look you up on the internet. I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what? I think when I looked you up, it sent me to your website. So I didn't, because it takes so long. I went to your website and I looked at your website.
No, I'm just kidding. I love the website. But you have to listen to Ron Zimmerman's show because it has a lot of share gossip. We didn't mean to get into the share gossip. Ron just talks to her. Ron talks
to her. I see.
You like
to tell
stories.
And they are good stories.
They are great stories. You may want to write a country western suicide song afterwards.
You could write songs.
I can't wait.
Ride to kill myself while jumping into a train. Instead, I hit.
Wow, that was you stole the. That's been my new. That's my new song.
No, well, Ron Zimmerman.
That I've been writing.
Like 5 times, and he tells us all 5 ways on the show.
Yeah.
He what?
He tried committing suicide 5 times, and he tells...
He did?
Yes, and he talks about all 5 ways on the show, and 2 of them, Jay Leno saved his life.
No.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
See, this is why I need to be your
Amazing.
Gay best friend. No, I'm not gay, but this is why I need to be your gay best friend, because I got the juice. I got the goss.
Are you really only 5'6"?
I am really only 5'6", yeah. Why, do I sound tall? Mm-hmm.
You do sound tall, don't you? Yes.
Well, you sounded a lot older, so then I'm not going to think you're 27. Maybe you just haven't finished growing yet.
It's that sexy radio voice.
Oh.
K-Hit! Yeah. Welcome to K-Hit!
Yeah, right.
No, amazing. I think, see, Missy and I were gossiping here. This is this could work.
Yeah.
This could work.
I don't know, though. The more Missy's learning about you, the more she sounds like she just doesn't know what to think.
I don't know what that means.
How does that sound? I mean, what? When you say it, sounds like, is that like when I go, amazing?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say it in a good way.
I was going to say, that is $1.99 a minute right there.
My credit card default, like the country right now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Whew. Yep.
Great. Missy.
There it is.
Now, let me ask you, do you think Shawnee Smith would not mind that I don't have a six-pack? Or a huge wiener.
I wouldn't mention those things I wouldn't mention those things when we're together.
Oh, I shouldn't mention those things, Shawnee?
Mm-mm.
So she likes huge wieners is what we're saying here.
I don't know that she does or she doesn't. I mean, I don't think anybody, to be honest, I don't think anybody likes a huge wiener.
Really?
Huge wiener. I think people like a good size wiener. You know, they're like a decent sized wiener. They don't. Nobody wants a huge wiener is, it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Very nice. Okay.
It's true though. It's true.
The more you know. Well, listen. Funny about Matt.
The more you know. Exactly.
Hey, I got. Pat Tobias is just gossiping on my book. My booker, Pat Tobias, who's been in contact with Missy, he's just gossiping about Missy on the book, and, like, I didn't even realize it. He said, Missy got pushed in front of a train by Leslie Bibb and Miss Nobody. There you go.
Oh, that wasn't me. I did not get pushed in front of the train.
She didn't get pushed, Pat. Duh.
No, that was, what's her name? Another actress got pushed in front of a train.
Wait.
No, it was,
Strike 3, bro.
I get something else happens to me by Leslie Bibb in that movie, which is, I think it's about to start airing on Showtime.
And not that I care, but what is the movie with you in the side boob again? America Crude?
American Crude. I think it's on the TMZ site. Or no, Mr. Skin. I think it's on Mr. Skin.
I don't go to TMZ, believe it or not, actually.
It's not TMZ. I think it's Mr. Skin. But it's really not very interesting.
No,
and like,
no.
Again, I was very skinny at the time. I was training for a marathon.
Don't worry.
If I had known it was going to pop up on a boob site. I actually had, I was offered a role that I ended up turning down, but I kind of really wanted to do it. It was like this Nicolas Cage movie where I'm having sex with Nicolas Cage and all these people just come in and try to kill him.
Ooh.
You know, like, it was, but I didn't end up doing it.
Now, wait,
but it was like,
with, because you wanted to have sex with Nicolas Cage? Was it nudity? What was the deal?
I kind of wanted to, like, I thought, well, gosh, you know, I'm getting older. Maybe I should do a movie where I'm like, you know.
Can I
read show my
skin set
up? And I talked to my husband about it, and he was like, oh, that sounds like fun. But it was a funny scene. It sounded like it'd be a lot of fun. But then at the end of the day, it was like,
missing.
Like, people were throwing nunchucks at him. We're still having sex, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on Mr. Skin right now, Missy. And
did you see it? Is it not there?
Well, first they have pictures of your cleavage and bringing down the house. Very nice. American Crew.
My cleavage.
From Mr. Skin, believe it or not. But I wanted to read you their bio they have written up for you. I can't read it all.
Oh, boy.
Little, but I want you to comment on this. A native Texan who grew up in Tennessee and gained an education in emoting at the North Carolina School of the
Emoting?
Arts. Emoting.
Emoting.
It gets better. Upper-dressed Missy Pyle is a stunner on the cusp of something big. Even if that something big is cradled in the cusp of her stressed but happily serving bra cup. Missy's gleaming...
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Agile lipped mouth and readily dot dot dot. I can't read the rest, so it could be readily. It could be about your vajay. I don't know. I just wanted you to know that was the nicest pornographic bio I've ever read.
Wow, how nice!
It also sounds kind of demeaning. Like, can't this woman find a bra that fits?
Clearly not.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a bra.
A bra size for there. What's that about?
I don't know.
I may have to write this Mr. Skin a little letter.
That's weird.
I don't know.
Go for it.
But they compare you to Kristen Bell.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I don't know. Among I don't
maybe
know.
That's bra cup size. I don't know.
Oh. I mean, oh. And that is all I can see on the Mr. Skin. They really want me to pay to be on this piece of shit.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the. I'm not getting.
I can't believe you haven't paid.
No, I'm not. I'm not paying. I am on the cusp of celebrity.
Have your mother pay. Just put it on the bill.
Ooh.
Does your mom pay your internet bill?
No.
No.
Oh.
No. I wish. That would be way sweet.
Way sweet. That'd be so sweet, dude.
Missy Pyle may be my new favorite guest.
What are you going to do when you're not in your mom's basement anymore?
Well, we're going to be doing this show in L.A. I will be going to Phil Rosenthal's movie nights, and I will be getting a job out in the Lala.
I don't think you're going to. I think it's going to disappoint you.
Why is that? Talk to me about it.
You just miss your mom. You miss your mom. Your mom's basement.
Trust me. She will be calling us on the show all the time.
Right.
You wait. You're going to sit in with Shawnee, and my mother's going to call and interrupt us halfway through.
Right.
I can't wait. It'll be
oh,
that
you
fun.
Can't wait.
Matt will be trying to make the spaghetti for Shawnee, and his mom
we
will
could
call
my mother right now.
Oh,
uh-huh.
I would advise against that.
Oh, they
that
did
as well.
Get into a big fight, Ma and Dad.
No. Well, no,
on
last,
the way out.
Last time you did this, you were tossed right under the bus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
she
did
not,
toss me
she
under
did
the
not
bus.
Like that.
My mom ripped on me. Who are we talking to? Who wanted to talk to my mom? Betsy Brandt?
Betsy Brandt.
Betsy Brandt. Betsy Brandt wanted to talk to my mom, and I was a little against it, but I said, okay. All I know is name was demeaned.
Your mom's on the do not call list right now.
Right. If Betsy wants to talk to your mom, though, you let her. You make that call. But,
DNC, do not call Ma.
Yeah.
She's on the DNC list.
Yeah.
The smoke coming out of your ears after that call.
But Missy, you could talk to her next time.
Yeah. She's a nice lady.
Oh, Missy's phone died.
Oh.
I just got a message.
Okay.
Do we call her back or no?
Yeah, let's call her back.
Yeah, let's say goodbye.
You have to say goodbye.
Do you have to say goodbye? Because remember, this happened with Annabelle Gurwitch. We talked to her so long, her phone died. And when I called back, I got the answering machine that read off a couple digits.
Oh, the That's right.
Yeah. Do we want to go through this debacle again?
Yes.
Boy.
Let her call me back.
This isn't, you know, let her call. She likes you, she'll call back.
She
like,
gets
you know,
an
this
hour.
Is like, you know, calling up the, from,
Miss,
in school when you're.
Missy, you get an hour.
Call.
Yeah, you have an hour,
you
Missy.
Have, you have an
hour.
Hour
to
you
call.
Have 1 hour to call.
Oh.
Mikey didn't think this is too funny.
920,
I'm still sitting on my
oh.
He never called?
Len Kanata. Len Kanata's in a lot of trouble.
Are we over time?
No, we got 10 minutes.
All right.
So I should call Missy. What's
yeah,
the vote?
I don't know.
I say call.
I'm going to ask our studio audience, and then I'm going to ask our online audience. Do I call Missy back for a goodbye?
You
got to call back.
Yeah.
It's only polite.
But you know, very well could get answering machine if her phone died, because her phone's probably still dead.
Her phone's dead.
Yeah. You know, if she, if we don't call her back, she's going to think we're not gentlemen.
Talking, and he heard the dirty talk.
Oh, you're... Oh.
What happened?
I thought your phone died.
Was it my phone?
I think
it
so.
It could have been.
Fade in calling you back or not, because I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe she hates me.
Yeah, you'd think we weren't...
So anyway, I'm going to say to you, you and Sean sit in L.A. We'll be out there December.
Okay.
We do the move. When you sit in, we could call my mother and you could talk to
let's
her.
Let's do it. Let's wait until then.
We'll go with my mother for an hour if you want. It's not
oh,
big.
Wow.
They got into a fight tonight.
Yeah,
Mom and
they
Dad.
Did. Mom and Dad got into a huge
It was the bottom of the eighth inning of the Chicago White Sox game.
Oh, God.
The White Sox are up by one. And Mom orders Dad to go with her to the pool.
Matt's dad, very big Sox fan.
Dad went through the roof.
He flew out of the gazebo in the backyard.
Doors,
at like 100 miles per hour.
Doors slammed.
Doors slammed.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by a what the fuck.
It's true.
Now, wait a minute. I'm confused. He was watching the game in the gazebo?
Wait, hold on. We got a phone call. Yeah, we watch in the gazebo. We got a TV out there. Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show. I'm Matthew Aaron here with Missy Pyle. Who's speaking?
Sarah Martisak.
Oh, God, my sister's calling.
Oh,
God. She's my sister. I couldn't get my mother, I guess.
Well, got the next
Sarah, do you want to say hi to me?
Hi, Sarah. Hi.
Hi.
That was.
No, I wanted to call in and listen and comment on this. On this fight, and I wanted to also correct Matt when he says that my parents do pay the internet bill.
No, they do
they
not.
They do pay the internet bill, don't they?
Oh, they pay the...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that bill they pay. But I pay for the things on the internet.
You pay what?
The things on the internet. Yeah, like...
Like what?
Book. Like the radio
show.
Right,
yeah.
So you pay some of the bills.
Well, let's not get crazy. I pay enough. Look.
Because when you go to L.A. and you start paying your own bills.
Don't tell me that, Missy.
Be a whole new world. You have to drive to work.
Look, I'm going to send you my bills and my checkbook, Missy, and
take
care of it for me.
Wait a minute. I already do that here.
Oh, well, what's one more?
You don't want to do it again?
Oh,
one more checkbook with bills.
Shockingly.
All right, get me Sean.
He actually doesn't even walk downstairs to go to work. He moved his room from the upstairs, two flights up, to the basement. So he actually just rolled out of bed and sits at the my grandmother's kitchen table in the studio downstairs.
Wow.
Kitchen table.
How does that make you feel that he left the real part of the house?
He's been gone for years. He's holed up down there.
You've been gone, like you've been there, but you've been gone, I think is what she's saying. You've been gone. You know?
I'm glad we had this conversation. Embarrassing at all.
How's that
Sarah, you do understand Missy Pyle's way hot.
And wow.
I saw her picture. She's a babe.
Thanks. Oh. You sound like a babe, too.
Oh, thanks. My dog.
Oh, they're getting lesbian.
Oh, God.
Okay. My sister's not participating in any lesbian antics on my program.
Not well, here's the thing. I mean, how old are you, Sarah?
25.
Okay. So I'm writing a script with a girl who's 25. I'm a little slightly older than 25. And she tells me, like, all the girls in Hollywood all make out with each other.
What?
All the girls in Hollywood make out.
Yeah, I mean, that's like they all like get drunk and make out with each other. All of them.
Like Katie Zick.
I just wondered if that was like, if that was true where you guys are, Sarah. You probably can't say it because your mom's there.
I live in Tampa, Florida. No. No.
No? It doesn't happen like that?
Not on Monday.
Oh, my God. Sarah made out with a girl.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I never made out with a girl.
Oh.
I'm way too straight for that.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
You're not too straight for Missy Pyle, though. Let's get real.
No.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Missy,
you know,
where
you don't have pain them kind of girl.
Each other in Hollywood. Maybe. Is this a good source?
I got to move there, I guess.
They make out and they send each other pictures of their boobs, but they don't put their faces in them, so you'll never get a.
I think I read something in a magazine about that, about like the hills, and I mean that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty.
All, they all do it. They all do it.
We're saying Katie Zeta-Jones and Julia Roberts suck a little tongue.
Those are. Crazy.
I'm talking about the young ladies. Those ladies are, you know. I mean, they might do it. I don't know. It's possible.
But you don't think the guys do it like Les Moonves?
I think Les Moonves definitely.
Are making out.
I have a picture of Les. No. Oh, wow.
No. This is blowing my mind. I had no idea.
Huh. Well, this was really great. What a learning experience.
You're welcome.
Find out that there's even more to that. Like this precedes a tickle fight and group shower.
Well, Missy, I hope you really enjoyed doing the show.
It was a good time. It was fun. Let's, we'll get Shawnee and we'll do it again. It'll be exciting.
Shawnee Smith, the first Mrs. Aaron.
Wait a minute. First of seven. It's like the
You're
NBA
You're planning
playoff.
To divorce her?
Marriage doesn't last forever, pal.
Not in California.
Especially not in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right. But the concept of marriage was around when people died in their 40s. So, it wasn't supposed to last forever.
No, you're right.
No. Just like, Billy Bob talks about. Yeah, well, I'm not getting into politics. No politics.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, Missy Pyle, I hope
everyone
listens to Smith and Pyle. I hope people check out some of your work.
Yes.
I can't wait to see
you
on the list this year.
It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
And keep being hot.
Okay.
And I will see you out in L.A.
She's like, check.
Sounds good. All right, you kids have fun, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Missy.
Thanks, Missy.
Okay, bye.
Facebook, Missy.
Bye.
Facebook.
Wait, bye, Sarah. Wait, what was your last question?
Missy, you better add me on Facebook. I can't add you.
Okay.
Any requests?
Send me a request.
I can't. You've got too many, it says. I tried.
Yeah.
She knows you.
Oh, all right, okay.
That was her move.
That's a good move.
It's pretty smart, though, right?
It's a very smart move. It's the go-to move. Let the all.
But
all
she looks hot in the profile pic with the guitar.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, man. It's me making some sweet-ass music happen. Or listening to sweet music. It's hard to say.
Oh,
all right.
Music. Okay.
All right, we'll do it. We'll do this. Sounds good. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Sarah, okay. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Missy.
So that happened.
You know.
I think it was successful.
I do too.
Yeah, I gotta wrap up the show, so you gotta go. I got five shows in 2 weeks. I got four shows.
I've had my taste of fame for the day.
Yeah, using and abusing. Okay.
I'm gonna go and make myself a PB&J, and you go ahead and talk about enlightening things.
You should call in this week, Sarah, because Steve wants to talk to you about an anniversary party and when times were a little different.
What anniversary party?
You want to talk about some other time this week.
Oh, well, Mom and Dad?
Yeah, I'll talk to you later, pal.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll get to that. Okay, we will be back tomorrow night with Timmy Gibbons, the executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Nice record.
We will be here on Thursday, Tracy Pendergast, and a wonderful Matt Aaron interview with the delightful, wonderful Phil Rosenthal.
Phil Rosenthal. Yep. I'm going to movie night at Phil's.
True.
I gotta go. Okay, here we go.
La la la.